Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. God told Jeremiah, "Up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say." So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there working away at his wheel. Whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you are working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. Then God's message came to me. "Can't I do just as this potter does, people of Israel? God's decree. Watch this potter. In the same way that this potter works his clay, I work on you, people of Israel. At any moment, I may decide to pull up a people or a country by the roots and get rid of them. But if they repent of their wicked lives, I will think twice and start over with them. At another time, I might decide to plant a people or country. But if they don't cooperate and won't listen to me, I will think again and give up on the plans I had for them." May we receive a blessing in the hearing of these words.
So in the summertime, it's a time of having fun and resting, of recreation, and we're going to be spending these weeks on recreation. Did you see how I did that? It was a pun. It was a little bit of a dad thing. So recreation, about being reshaped by the one who gave us shape in the very first place. And we were made for this. We were made for change. God created us moldable like clay to be shaped and reshaped. God created us for a purpose, to be formed into something spectacular. And God does it again and again and again. So change is actually the one constant in the universe. We can see it in the seasons. Today is warmer than it was a month ago. We can see it in biological shifts as the genetics of populations change over time as populations come together and move away. We can see it in tectonic plate movements. And geologists tell us that the continental plates have been floating around and forming and breaking apart and reforming over millions and millions of years. So change is a constant. And God created us the very same way. Our own development takes us through constant change as we grow and develop. We change with age. Some ages fast and easy to spot, some a little slower. My daughter and her boyfriend were over the other day, and he has recently entered his 30s and has been complaining of soreness, tired, he gets out of, loses strength and it gets back, doesn't bounce back like he used to. And my daughter, who's 24, said, "You know, I hear people in their 30s talking about the physical decline a lot more than people in their 50s and 60s. I said, "Well, you know, decline is not a surprise for us anymore of not bouncing back. It's a surprise for him, because for the first time in his life, he's finding that he doesn't bounce back." Human beings are in a constant state of change, with populations migrating, splitting apart, coming together. Today, the rate of change, we're told, is faster than ever. That stop animation technology was developed 70 years ago, and now it seems very old and antiquated, especially compared to videos made by AI. Have you seen the videos now, AI, that they look real at first and then you realize that cannot possibly be real? Have you seen those? So AI is growing quickly. It can, it can change, it can mimic people's voices. I heard a fellow who plays around with AI, and it'll sample your voice and then you can tell it what to say. And he said even his wife wasn't sure if that was his voice or not. So it's very good. The other day, Brian and I were talking to the kids about how things were different when we were a kid, about how phones were stuck to the wall and only used for calling, about how TV was broadcast, you know, and there were only four channels, and if you wanted to watch a show, you had to be there at the right time with the TV on. We remember when answering machines were new, when cell phones were new, when streaming was new. When I went to college, I was sent with a typewriter, not a computer. And then I think about when my kids are my age, they're going to say, I remember when AI was new. And the kids will look at them like they're dinosaurs. The change is just constant. You could say that the opposite of change is homeostasis. In biology, homeostasis is that balance that we have, of maintaining a balance and a consistency that we need to thrive. So we have a balance in our temperature, in our fluid levels, in our electrolyte levels, our energy, energy coming in, energy being used, in our circadian rhythms, our daily rhythms in the body. And we need balance. And that need for balance, for homeostasis, can affect our thinking, make us suspicious of change. Because we know that we can survive the way things are right now. We're not sure if things change, if we can make it. So you could say that God designed us for stability, for sameness, except that maybe homeostasis really is not the opposite of change, because in homeostasis, there's constant adjustments to maintain that balance. If the internal fluid goes down, the body brings in more fluid to maintain that balance. So in order to hold homeostasis, we have to constantly change. And then there's neuroplasticity, which neuroscientists call about, that ability to reshape our thinking and our behavior by literally rewiring our brain, to build new neural connections. That's what makes learning possible throughout our lives. That's what makes spiritual growth possible. That's how adults learn to play the piano and learn new languages, and how adults who have never had to deal with technology can pick up a smartphone and figure it out. So change is constant. The other constant is God. The God molds us and shapes us. We change, but God remains the same. Over and over in Scripture, people get this backwards. They want to stay the same, and they want God to change. God to change, God to change the world, God to change others. But they want to stay the same, and then God reminds them, nope, you change. I stay the same. We get it backwards, too. We want God to change. We want the world to change. We want others to change. But we're the ones who need to change. It's actually fundamental to our understanding of how prayer works. Prayer is not convincing God to make a change that God wasn't intending to do. Instead, in prayer, God changes us. That through that connection with God, we are fashioned more and more like God. So, God made us for change. We can change, and God made us for change. Jesus was a big advocate for change that would keep us constantly moving towards God, keep us growing and learning and becoming. The prophet Jeremiah, who we heard from, was several centuries earlier, he preached and prophesied at a time of actual great change for the people of God, Israel. They had already been through the time of moving from slavery to free. They'd settled in Canaan. Then they built up a monarchy. They established property lines, made sure that the system was set up so they had plenty. They worshiped God on the Sabbath, but then they worshiped other gods on other days. Turns out, God is a jealous God, only worship God. And you know what? We still follow a jealous God who wants our attention, every day. wants to be a priority in our lives every day, wants to be our best friend every day, and wants every decision to start and end with God's wisdom. So Jeremiah saw the people walking away from God. He warned them that they were protected by God and that they needed that protection. And they were like, nah, I think we got this. We're all right. We're fine. They were wrong. Jeremiah warned them and worked to tell them. And you know what? Jeremiah got discouraged. They just weren't listening. Jeremiah really, he wrote about his despair, about what was going to happen. And he was thinking, the folks have gone too far. They have just cut off all relationship with God, and God's going to abandon us, and it's going to be over. And then God sent Jeremiah to go watch a potter. Go watch a potter's wheel. Wheels, pottery wheels have been used for over 5,000 years, archaeologists say. They start with soft clay and they mold it, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And if it doesn't, they just kind of squish it back together and start over. They wait until it's right, you know, till they get it right, and then they fire it and all of that. I've never made to the looks just right place to fire pottery. I want to show you, so when they do it and it kind of doesn't work, they just remold it and try again. So we have a video of people doing that. Does anyone here do pottery? Yeah. So have you had more than one experience of starting again? Very same clay, you start again. Sometimes the wall's too thin or it's floppy or whatever. You just start again. So God tells Jeremiah that God can do the same thing. I love the way the Jeremiah records it. Can't I do the same thing, God says? Can't I just take a people, reshape them, reform them? Because God made plans for those people, and God has made plans for us. God has made plans for each one of us and given us gifts and strength and abilities and purpose. God has given each one of us this little piece of God's mission of building the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. And God told Jeremiah, the difference between starting over and throwing away is repentance. Change your heart, change your mind, change your ways, turn towards God. And that is super good news for every one of us who screw up and mess up and get off on the wrong path and get apathetic and stop going to church, that God is always there, ready for repentance. And sometimes it does feel like God has just taken our lives and said, we're starting over. Sometimes it feels that way when we go through a divorce, or when we go through that natural process of leaving home, or when we go through widowhood, or a big move, or a person in addiction moves into sobriety and recovery. It feels like it's brand new. And in the end, it does turn out to be a new beginning. That God reshapes us. Same clay, God reshapes us. Starts over, and all we have to do is turn toward God. I've noticed often people equate being a good Christian with being a good person. People will say to me, you know, I talk with families for funeral, they'll say, well, they didn't go to church much, but they were a good person. And the truth is, when we follow God, when we are faithful, we love like God does, and we are a good person. But you know, pilgrimage teaches us another way to look at it. Because when you're walking on a path, on pilgrimage, it really doesn't matter how good or bad you walk, how good or bad you are. There's only two things that matter. Are you on the right path? Are you walking the right way? You can stumble around or you can walk strong. It is important to go the right way, not the wrong way. Go the right way, stay on the path. Are you walking towards God? If that's what we thought about being a good Christian, people would say, well, they didn't go to church much, but they always followed God. Although, to be honest, I don't know how you follow God without this community we call the church. So there's a lot of things can go wrong with pottery. There's a lot of things can go wrong with our lives. We can get, like, we don't realize the path went that way, and we can go this way. And for potters, rather than persisting with malformed pottery, you just start over. You reshape it. It's not a big deal. We were created for the same kind of change. If we get off on the wrong path, or we accidentally go the wrong way, or intentionally go the wrong way, no worries. Get on the right path, turn the right way, off you go. It's not huge. And it's not complicated. And Gumby shows us how it's done. The technique of stop motion animation was pretty new. And so Gumby was actually a great feat in that new technology, where clay is shaped, taken a photo, shape again, take a photo. So Gumby was made for change. Change is actually what makes Gumby interesting. If Gumby just sat there, not very fun. And Gumby reminds us that we are created for change with this neuroplasticity to turn towards God. And there is a lot of change in the world today. There's a lot of change in the church. It used to be that pretty much everyone went to church. Today, less than 50% of people go to church ever. It used to be that everybody believed in God. Today, people, when they're surveyed, who say they are atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, is now the largest denomination. And it used to be that talking about God was offensive to others. And today, while most people are not looking for a church, they also say they are not the least bit bothered by people talking about their own faith, or they're not bothered about being invited to church. And that's a change. If you grew up, you probably knew it's polite to not talk about your faith to people. But things have changed, and talking about our faith is different, and that is a good change. So think about, what do you believe? Change is good. I'll go first. As I was thinking about, what do you believe? I went back to old words. I believe in God, the Creator Almighty, Creator of all things seen and unseen. And I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Virgin Mary, by the Holy Spirit, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered like me, under Pontius Pilate, who died, who was buried, and who rose again, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one who blows through us. I believe in the Holy Universal Catholic Church. I believe in the communion of saints, saints in this life and saints in the next. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, and I believe that life goes on everlasting. Those are old words put together by Christians in the 300s, naming what do they believe, and they still resonate for me today. And while they are memorized, they speak to deep truths. In America, the very first one is, I believe in God. God is real. God is not a figment of my imagination. God is not internal. God is transcendent. And I seek that relationship. I seek that communion with God. And through God, I am connected to every other person. And I believe that Jesus of Nazareth was God incarnate. And I know that because Jesus rose from the dead. And that changed everything. And there is a commonality in humanity with Jesus. And Jesus was wise beyond my comprehension. And I believe that following Jesus is the best way to spend my entire life. I believe that the Holy Spirit is active today, pushing us sometimes places I don't want to go. Sometimes showing us beauty and love and amazing things. Sometimes convicting us. And I believe that the church, made up of us, people who mess up, people who sin, people who can be hurtful, that the church is holy. That there is something about this group of people and larger group of people in union with Christ, that the church is sacred. I believe that sin is forgivable, even mine. Or maybe that's something I'm working on believing. And I believe that life does not end in death, but goes on. Goes on in a way that I can't comprehend, but goes on. So think about that this week. What do you believe? And how could you say it out loud to others?
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosthwaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.